How would you react if a nursery toy started playing by itself when the switch was set to off? Maybe blame the batteries? Okay. But at what point does paranoia stop feeling like anxiety and start feeling like a warning? Why is it often corridors or hallways that feel wrong, even when nothing is visibly there? If something follows you from one house to another, is it external or internal? Can grief blur the line between mental health struggles and something genuinely unexplained? And what happens when the one person who doesn't believe your experiences is the only other adult in the room? We can't guarantee answers to any of those questions today, but that won't stop us looking on today's episode of The Dark Paranormal.
Live from Liverpool, The Dark Paranormal with Kevin Eustace.
Hello everyone and welcome to the second half of the season already. I sincerely cannot believe we're already in that latter half of the season, and don't forget, this is the point in our season where we begin accepting submissions for next season's show. And to submit your true paranormal experience, just simply go to the show notes and click on Submit My Experience. Or you can go to thedarkparanormal.com and click Submit My Experience there. We've already received quite a few, but as we always say, this show is fluid. So it doesn't matter if we receive 30 great stories for next season. We will choose the right ones for you to listen to. And every experience that we receive, we aim to use, be it on the main show, a minisode, or for our Patreons on Dark Bites. So don't believe your entry will go in vain. So once again, that link to submit your experience is directly in the show notes. Also within the show notes, you'll find a link to our Patreon. We're offering a free week trial at our highest tier on Patreon, which means you will gain full access to early ad-free releases and to the entire back catalogue of the weekly Patreon-only show Dark Bites, which is now close to 190 hours of Patreon-only content, plus the new show that we're doing for our Patreons at that tier, After Dark, which is where I give an unedited opinion on the experiences that we've heard that week. Once again, that link's in the show notes, or go direct to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. Now, it is with a very sensitive feet that I step foot into the second half of this season, and we begin our second half with a trigger warning. Yes, it's something we don't usually have on our episodes, but that's when it comes to the paranormal. When it comes to real life, events with harrowing outcomes, we do have to have some form of trigger warning for anyone who may be affected. So to give you advanced warning, the following episode will contain conversations around the death of people who die far before their time. There is also mention of people suffering from really severe mental health issues and people ending their own life. For full transparency, I will declare now that none of those things will go into full descriptions or detail, and that's because of our submitter and how they phrase those parts of their experience. However, if those factors will affect you, I would suggest skipping this episode. But right now, it's time, as always, to lower the lights, make yourself comfortable, and join me as we hear all about What Are You? Hi Kev, I've been listening to your podcast for around 6 months now. It's one of the only ones I've found where the storytelling, tone, and pace are perfect to fall asleep to, but also perfect for my commute. That being said, I've been pondering on submitting an experience for a while, but I haven't had the time nor energy to do so. My name is Izzy, and I'm fine with you using my name. I'm also a guy. As I'm writing this now, I'm 23. But my experience took place when I was probably about between 17 and 19. I was pretty reckless, struggling and a teen dad at this point. It's also probably worth a mention that I've not been what most people would call mentally sound for quite a long time. I'm diagnosed with BPD, borderline personality disorder, for those who don't know, which does on occasion cause me to experience psychosis and hallucinations, amongst other things. However, what I experienced wasn't anything I've dealt with before my psychosis, and it was way too aggressive and consuming for that. For the sake of privacy, I've changed my son and my ex-girlfriend's name. Now, with that out of the way, this is my experience. As I said, I was about 17 at the start of all of this, and I was a relatively new dad. Therefore, I'd recently moved into a house in the south of England, with my girlfriend at the time, Alex, where we were raising our five-month-old son, who I'll call Kai. It was pleasant enough, but relatively an old house, probably built in the 1930s, which isn't really considered very old in England, but maybe is elsewhere. We were excited about having independence, as you would be at that age. And of course, we got to making it our own. Even from this point, right at the start, there had been a few odd things happen every so often. I'd often find myself hesitating before going into certain rooms, even when everything seemed normal. My mind would be racing with what-ifs, and I'd try to talk myself down, telling myself I was just being paranoid. One of the other specific events happened whilst I was in the kitchen making breakfast with Alex. Kai was sat in his high chair at the table, and out of nowhere, the bin started opening its lid on its own. Other things that happened were my belongings just moving to different places, places I knew I didn't place the item, and occasionally hearing footsteps and movement at night. Nothing majorly scary, although it did freak me out a bit, and I did quite strongly believe it to be paranormal. On reflection, yes, these could have been natural happenings like the latch on the bin lid failing, or Alex moving stuff around, though I'd wake up at night and just lie there for a bit, trying to convince myself I was imagining it. But with what happened after, this feels to me like it was my first warning. I'd like to mention I'm subtly a religious guy, and Alex really didn't believe in anything but fact, so she just shrugged it off and dismissed my concerns. This dynamic made everything so much more difficult. Anyway, the small strange things kept happening for a while, but whatever this was never directly bothering us. That was until things started happening to Kai. About 2 weeks into living there, he was a happy, very bubbly kid. But whatever happened almost seemed to drain all the joy right out of him. It began when my girlfriend had put him to bed. He had a nursery down a small hallway from our bedroom, as this was the only room that would fit all of his things. It was a very normal night, and we'd gone downstairs to clean up from dinner, while he was asleep upstairs. Eventually, me and Alex locked up and went to go and relax in bed ourselves. I'd say it wasn't even an hour later when Kai woke up again, which is normal for a baby of his age. Of course, I did the usual of calming him and putting him back in his cot bed. As soon as I put him down and went back to my own bed, he started crying again. But like screaming crying. One of those cries you know distinctly as a parent. He was a pretty easygoing and unbothered baby, but he really would not settle. I tried and tried for at least 20 minutes, probably much longer, before I ended up taking him from the nursery and placing him in a bassinet in our bedroom instead, where he happily went about his sleep routine as he normally would. This was only the start of the weird happenings. For some odd reason, he just didn't like that nursery all of a sudden. Even if either me or his mum were by his side, or we literally cradled him to sleep, he just wouldn't. Yet anywhere else in the house was fine. For a week or so, we just ended up having him in our room to sleep. But the bassinet wasn't really safe, or big enough for a baby of his age. So, we eventually decided to try and put him back into the nursery. And he did settle into his bed at first, with a little bit of resistance. Until this terrifying incident happened the next night. We'd gone about our nightly routine as usual, and he went to sleep in his bedroom. At the time, literally anything could wake me up. As anyone with kids will know, your senses go absolutely wild. But I woke up because I heard something over the baby monitor that was on my bedside table. It was the sound of the electronic baby mobile that was above his cot. It played a little lullaby when you turned it on, and I always found it to be a bit annoying, because I had to listen to it on repeat. So there was absolutely no doubt what it was. But what made it especially weird, other than it was just starting, was that you physically had to flip a switch on the top to make it work. There was no way he could do that on his own at that age. When I turned over to check if Alex had gone to see him or something, she was fast asleep. So there was no way she had gone in to do it for him. Begrudgingly, I decided to investigate what was happening, which meant doing the walk down the hall to his nursery. Now, I wasn't a big fan of that dark hallway at night as it was. I'll be perfectly honest, it terrified me the most. I didn't tell anyone I got a strange vibe from that hallway and that room at first, because I thought they'd think I was crazy. Except Alex, who just shrugged and went back to bed. I opened that door, preparing for the worst. But I didn't see or hear anything or anyone, only the sound of the mobile. I leant down to pick him up because he was awake, and when I looked at him, he had tears on his face as if he'd been crying. The thing is, babies usually make a noise when they cry, so I was baffled as to why he was just crying without any sound. That's something I know I'd have heard on the monitor. After I picked him up to take him to my room, because I was honestly shook up at that moment, I went to turn the mobile off. It was already off. I did a double check to make sure I wasn't being stupid in my half-asleep, half-awake state. it was definitely off. It hit me then, I couldn't really think of an explanation as to how it could be playing music if the switch was set to off, except for an electrical fault. But it was fine before, and fine now. That was the quickest I had left a room in my entire life. The next day, when I told Alex, because obviously I was worried, she listened and nodded or whatever, but I could tell she didn't really believe me. I did, however, convince her that I didn't want him sleeping in that room, and so I ended up just moving his entire cot into our bedroom to sleep, which wasn't ideal with how small our room was. Nothing like that happened again, but sometimes I would wake up to things being on the floor, knocked off from the dresser, things laying next to his bed, or worse, the door being opened just a bit when I knew I'd closed it before bed. Sadly, a month later, Alex and I split up because of ongoing tensions and arguments around me being too unstable and paranoid. And unfortunately, she took her own life shortly after. This left me with our then 6-month baby by myself. I moved back in with my parents with Kai so I had some support, but also because that environment was becoming way too much for me, especially with Alex taking her own life in our bedroom. The whole time I was living with them, things still happened. Something that didn't happen in the house before. Bear in mind, it was my childhood home. I would constantly hear strange sounds. I'd be convinced someone was talking to me. This, however, I'll be honest, could have been a hallucination. I can't be sure. What definitely wasn't was when my dad mentioned at breakfast about a few times where my border collie had gone upstairs and began pacing and growling while sniffing under my closed door with his hair stood on end as if threatened, which he hadn't done in the 2 years I'd had him. My dad also didn't know about any of this stuff. He talked about it genuinely, just thinking the dog was being strange. But all this stuff did start to bother me, and it made me increasingly paranoid, and my mental health worse. It felt like I couldn't tell what was real and what was not. I was constantly doubting Kai's safety, all while struggling to cope with the sudden loss of my girlfriend. It went on, the same stuff, different day. And yeah, I did start to get used to it. The main thing with Kai was when he got older, he would play with toys in the living room, along with my mum or me. And he would sometimes just stop and stare at one corner of the room for a bit. He wouldn't make a sound, just looked weirdly serious. And then I'd get this horrible feeling like something was really wrong, but I wasn't sure what. Watching him like that made me feel both protective and powerless at the same time. I've always wanted to understand what he was seeing, but I felt completely in the dark. And it was a constant worry eating at me. I believe firmly that he could see or sense something that I couldn't. My suspicions continued to seem less crazy as Kai started to speak. He talked about a someone who was in our bedroom, but really casually, like it was someone who just lived here. He didn't ever properly describe her, so I'm not 100% certain it's the same thing I saw, but I'm pretty sure it was. Around this time, or a bit before, I started having sleep paralysis, which only happened a couple of times. But I think it was because of this ongoing thing. When it happened, it was what I understand to be a pretty typical encounter. I would wake up, not be able to move, but both times I saw this thing behind or near my door, dependent on if it was open or not. It never moved from this spot, nor spoke to me. But there was always this knocking or tapping sound that generally I didn't hear other than when this occurred. As soon as I'd be able to move again, maybe 5 or 10 minutes later, I couldn't see it anymore. But whatever it was, wasn't very detailed. But it was very small and slender. So I believe it may have been that woman that Kai saw. The other odd thing which happened was a subtle smell of like a gone-off out-of-date food. Almost musty. This wasn't all the time, but it was persistently there every so many days. It was there for a long, long time. I didn't keep food in my room, and no matter what I did, if I burned candles or if I had an air freshener, it just lingered and didn't disappear for long before it would come back. Kai was very adamant that whatever this thing was, it was real. He was on the waiting list for an autism diagnosis. One of the reasons being he really seemed to struggle with pretend play and just enjoyed doing repetitive games over and over instead. This meant he didn't ever make up imaginary friends or mention anything that wasn't actually there. So I believe that he wasn't just imagining it. I do really believe it centered around him. Things kept happening. The same sort of stuff just over and over again, which I wouldn't go into because it would be repetitive. But just know it kept going. However, it never escalated nor became malicious. My son passed away at 2 years old due to pneumonia. He'd always been healthy, so it felt sudden and beyond devastating. I don't know if it's all connected. I just know that after his passing, I never experienced anything at this level ever again. Except this one small thing. I now have a son with my current girlfriend. Like I said, I didn't experience anything else for years until recently, which sparked me finally writing all this up. No strange noises, no seeing things. I ignored the past. I tried to tell myself whatever was gone was gone. A few months ago, we went to visit Kai's grave for the first time in a long time. I do feel bad about it, but I don't go very often. It's still raw, it's still hard. My girlfriend hadn't been with me before, and it felt important that we go together. We stayed for a while, we talked, we left flowers and a toy. And then we went home. Nothing unusual happened there. It was just a very emotional day. But that same night, I had sleep paralysis again for the first time in years. I woke up, and I couldn't move just like before. And I knew straight away what it was, because I hadn't felt that sensation since everything else happened. The room looked normal. My girlfriend was asleep next to me, and there seemed to be nothing visibly wrong. The only weird thing was that same heavyish feeling that I used to get. Like the air in the room had got really thick, really quick, and I couldn't breathe properly. My heart was pounding, and even though my eyes were open and the room did look normal, I couldn't get rid of the feeling something else was watching me. And then I heard it. That faint tapping sound. It wasn't really loud at all, but loud enough that I could not ignore it. And again, sounded like it was coming from the bedroom door, or the wall beside it. I just lay there, and I listened. After a few minutes, I could move again, and the tapping stopped almost immediately. But I didn't get up to investigate. I stayed where I was until the morning, and I chose to ignore it. In regards to my new partner, I did end up telling her everything. She didn't dismiss me, but she also didn't jump to paranormal explanations. She suggested it could have been stress, grief, or just standard sleep paralysis. As for me, well, I don't know what caused any of this. Part of me still questions all the timing. Whether the passing of my son and ex-girlfriend was really just coincidence. I just honestly don't know what I believe anymore. But I do know that either way, the chance to put this all into words here has definitely helped me process this all a lot better. Thank you for providing a space where people like me can get these stories and experiences off their chests. Kind regards, Izzy. Well, Izzy, firstly, thank you for submitting such an emotional, heartbreaking, and terrifying tale for our start of the second part of this season. And my sincerest, deepest condolences for your loss of both your partner and, of course, your son. For someone like me, although I have suffered loss in the past in the form of bereavement, I'm not a parent, and I just cannot fathom the pain that must go through someone when they lose a child. It's often said one of the most painful things is when a child dies before their parent, and I can only literally imagine that that is the case. So my heart truly does go out to you. I have to be perfectly honest with you, Izzy, and our listeners. I'm trying to find a way to segue into the paranormal aspects of the tale in a way which doesn't seem cold. Though I guess you have wrote into a paranormal podcast about your experience, so with respect, I'll try to address some of the things within your email, which are absolutely terrifying and interesting, and also we will never know the answer to. Such as, who was Kai looking at in the corner of the room? Also, the description of her. I assumed, as I was reading it, that this was your ex-partner. But the way you describe what you saw, you clearly would have stated if that was the case. And you do seem convinced that what you saw is also what Kai saw. The interesting part of this, of course, is when you experienced your first round of sleep paralysis and witnessed this being, your ex-partner was very much alive. Your ex-partner was also very much alive when Kai began to take a dislike to his nursery. And as you put it, screamed and cried in almost silence, which is something children tend to do when fear overrides their ability to shout for help. Of course, Kai being literally unable to speak, the scream you describe, to me, that sounds like when someone has had whatever is causing them to be scared leave, and they have their first chance to make a noise to get attention. So as we posited at the beginning, perhaps whatever was in that place was what was paying Kai a visit of a night. And then when it would leave the room, he had the chance to make you aware. But the fact that this entity seemed to have followed you from your home that you had with your ex-partner to your parents' home, where you yourself state there was no previous paranormal activity, and then there was when you arrive, does seem to indicate that it was attached to either you or to Kai. Now, I'm not trying to imply it was there since birth or it's been there for a long while. I believe whatever was in that house decided that when you left, it would leave with you. My mind is literally racing with theories, that some of which I'm not comfortable speaking out loud. But I will say that because of that, I'm not just going to sit here in silence. I'm going to wrap up the episode by saying thank you so much, Izzy, for sending in such a chilling and absolutely heartbreaking email. It's one that's going to stick with me for a good while, I can promise you that. And although it will never go away, of course, I hope your grief eases as time passes. Ironically, we did just have a Patreon special where we looked at grief and the paranormal and potential interactions between the emotion of grief and paranormal activity. And maybe that has something to do with the reoccurrence of your sleep paralysis. Indeed, the return of this slender woman. But Izzy, very rarely do I have nothing to add at the end of a show, but this is one of those. So I just say thank you for sending in your email and best wishes to you and your family. Now for everyone else, remember, if you have your own paranormal experience, you can go to our show notes where you can send in your submission, or you can go to thedarkparanormal.com and click on Submit My Experience. And until next time, remember, when you're discussing the paranormal, always try to leave some of your disbelief at the door. And I'll speak to you all next time, right here on The Dark Paranormal.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.